Send your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast with your hosts, Keith Tharp, Mark Sadowski, and Matt Hoffman. Suck it, Android.
I swear to you guys, I will have that fixed by next week.
Yeah.
I really got to get my butt off. I mean, I've been dealing with this whole head cold and sinus infection and all that stuff. And it's just been rough. And yeah, I'm finally starting to get over it, as you can see, or hear rather. I'm not muting the microphone every 2 seconds to hack a lung up.
Not yet.
I know. Knock on wood. But anyway, this is the Tiny Shutter Podcast. This is a show all about iPhone photography all the time. I should have muted there. I am Mark Sadowski.
I am Matt Hoffman.
And I'm Joseph Ferreira.
And what a show we have for this week. It's a slow news week, actually. So this week, we are going to kind of lighten the load a bit. And let's start with one news bit.
News team, assemble!
And I swear to God, we're going to make this very quick, because last week, I apologize for this, I went a little long-winded with my Ogle review. And by a little, I mean I could have made War and Peace look like Cliff Notes. So I'll say this, Ogle, it had an update, which improved the app quite a bit. And I will say this, the last time I used the app when it first launched and I got my invite, I would say it was equivalent to, say, washing yourself with a cheese grater. Slightly enjoyable, but mostly painful. This week, it's more like going to bed on a bed of nails. Technically,
slightly enjoyable?
Slightly enjoyable. That's a riff off of Comedian. I think that's Andrew Dice Clay. It was better than the alternative. He had a different way of saying it.
Oh.
This time with the update to Ogle, it's equivalent to going to bed on a bed of nails. Yeah, technically you can do it, but you're still uncomfortable with it.
Sounds like an improvement, though.
It is an improvement. There are improvements. Stability, it doesn't suck up the battery as much. And it just works much, much better. Plus, double tapping on an image will allow you to like a photo. And that little chat box that I was mentioning last week that I had no idea what it was for, well, now I know what it's for. It's just to give you updates on who's liking your photos, who's following you, etc., etc. You know, like everybody else does. So it's a novelty that they couldn't have it out for a launch. And here's the big thing, though. You still can't use Hipstamatic to upload your photos to Ogle. That's a big faux pas that I am not forgiving, and I will not stop complaining about, because it's their own goddamn app. I mean, they made Hipstamatic and they made Ogle. You'd think that's the first thing that they would allow photos to talk between one another. Call me crazy, but that's the way I see it. The other thing is that it's not very easy to follow friends or to view friends or even communicate with friends. For something that's supposed to be a social app, it's not very sociable. And yeah, I think Keith Tharp said it best. I wish I had his message in front of me. Joe, do you have that in front of you?
Well, shoot. Thanks for warning me.
No problem. I have it right here, actually. As Keith put it, you can't easily find your friends in the first place. You have to manually search for them. If you're watching the new ad, this makes it the face block of social networking apps. Join Ogle and find no one. Social networking apps allow you to find your friends by searching your Twitter and Facebook feeds. Not Ogle. Fail. And I agree with him 100%. It's just not easy to follow people, find people. And once you do, you really don't know, you know, the feeds that you're looking at. It's kind of a mystery because they only have one photo feed that you follow. And I guess it blends everything together. And it's still not very clear on how it actually works. And I'm not cool with that. So that's my app review for Ogle this week. I'm not going to give it a better. I'm not going to give it a better review until, you know, I see something.
Until they work the bugs out.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's. Oh, wait a minute. Was that from Keith?
Looked like somebody called Plainsong. I didn't know if Keith was Plainsong.
You know what? I thought that was Keith. You know what? Because the way the I haven't seen a comment come through Tiny Shutter for a little while. So the app looks like it came. It looked like the feed came from Keith himself. But
yeah, somebody called Plainsong had put a reply in that was that. Yeah, when you said Keith, I was like, I was looking through all the comments. So I'm like, I don't see anything from Keith.
Yeah, it was weird. So that's my bad. I apologize to Keith and Plainsong, but I'm sure Keith would have said the same thing.
Sure, absolutely.
But Plainsong, you are absolutely correct. Again, I'm not even. I've been playing around with the app this week, just because it's. Because the feeds have been working a little bit better, I've been using it a little bit more. But I'm not comfortable with their photo app at all. Like, you guys know where I'm coming from. If I can't use that plus button for a shutter control, then it's not worth using for me.
Yeah.
And you can't do that. But you can with the Hipstamatic app, and you can't with the Ogle app. I mean, it just doesn't make sense that... You train people for the longest time to use this device as though it were a real camera. You know what I mean? You Hipstamatic is like a cult following, and then you rip that away from somebody to use another sticky app. I mean, come on.
I think a lot of apps are you know, developers are just trying to throw something out there. And, you know, half baked. And, you know, it's if you do that, then you get the negative feedback. And, you know, it takes a long time for, you know, even if the app does become something popular and or very good, it takes a long time for people to go back to it because they still have that negative image in their mind of what they were dealing with in the beginning. So
right.
I don't know if it's a good idea to, you know, put something out when it's only half baked and say, oh, we'll put updates in there.
That's exactly what's happening. Companies will do that. I mean, all companies will do this. They're like, yeah, that'll be something that we work on later. But I don't forgive them. I take points away from them. And in fact, that tells me a lot about the company themselves. I mean, I'm going to use gaming for example here, but take Blizzard Entertainment. They're the makers of World of Warcraft, Diablo, StarCraft, all those games. They will work on the game until it's finished. No ifs, ands, ors about it. They won't launch it until it's finished. In fact, they've been developing a game codenamed Titan for a while now that was supposed to be like this big, huge... it's just a big, huge multiplayer game. Let's just say that for lack of description. It turns out that they've actually scrapped the whole thing to start it from scratch. They basically spent years on this thing, developing this thing. And they just scrapped it because, you know, they don't see it. They don't feel it's fit for the people. So they scrap it and start all over again. And I commend them for this thing. I mean, and when they turn out, you know, when they finally launch a game, they make a bazillion dollars and everyone loves them. Not so much with other companies. Take, I mean, the list goes on and on. I'll just finally say this. Ogle, you stink. I'm sorry. I really wanted to like the app, and there's so much goodness in this, but if it only worked, if they only took the time, like, just spend a year making it a little bit better. I mean, what was the rush? Nobody knew it was in development. Nobody was knocking down their doors for it. I mean, if you want to be a competitor to Facebook and Instagram or Flickr for that matter, then you spend the time to make it work. And if you can't do that, then you stink. You have problems and you're probably going to lay off all your staff anyway. Oh, wow. They already did that. So.
Oh, no.
Oh, zing. Yeah, I went there, but they went there first. So, sorry, Ogle.
You're making me almost want to get this app just so that I could find out if it's really this bad.
You know, right? What? I actually would love that because I might be looking at it through a whole different perspective. I might be a little bitter about it, but I've spent a lot of time playing with the Hipstamatic app. I mean, I photographed an entire wedding using that app. I grew to like it. And the fact that, you know, that happened and there's no talking to it, I don't know. Matt, actually, that would be a perfect thing for you to volunteer for. So I'm glad you just did.
Oh. See, I don't use Hipstamatic, so
yeah.
You know, I don't feel like I really have a place in this Ogle app. And then, like, I was just thinking about, you know, your gripe with the lack of being able to use the volume button.
Yeah.
As the shutter button. And
that's like one point off. I understand that. That's my personal gripe, but I'm not going to
see how as a photographer, you know, when you're used to holding, you know, an SLR style camera.
Yeah.
I can see how that would be kind of aggravating, you know, because you want your phone to feel like, you know, like any other camera. But
more importantly, I just want my Gizmon case to feel like I'm making the most of it.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
But somehow I've gotten into the habit of just like kind of separating the two types of photography.
Yeah.
And I've never gotten into the habit of using the volume button. And I think about the way the camera lens and the volume buttons are oriented on the camera. When I'm pointing the phone at something to take a picture,
mm-hmm.
the camera lens is in the, if I'm looking at the phone,
lower right corner.
It's in the upper left corner, right? So now the volume buttons are basically on the bottom. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's just the way that I like to hold it.
Yeah. No, I understand. It's, you know what? It's, Ogle has opened up it's not invite only. It's opened up to everybody. So, Joe, if you wanted to get in on the action and just kind of give it, you know, just give it one day of photography.
Does that mean I have to get Hipstamatic?
No, you don't.
Oh, good. Okay.
You don't have to. Because why would the two talk to one another?
Yeah. Okay. Got it. I understand. Yeah. I'll upload it.
Yeah. I mean, that would be great. You know, then you guys can say I'm full of it, or if I have a point. I think it's going to be a combination of both.
I might. I'm tempted. Sort of.
Anyway, okay, that's all there is for this news.
I'll say it. You're full of it.
There you go.
Okay.
No, I fully. You know, I yeah, bah. Although, Plain Song seemed to agree with me, so maybe I'm not quite that full of it. Maybe I'm half of it. So, there we go. Anyway, that's all we have for news this week. Joe, you had an interesting topic that you wanted to bring up for this episode.
Yes. You know, I deal with other photography groups, and mainly this, you know, it's SLRs and digital SLRs and stuff like that, but they do a weekend theme, and I participate in it most of the time. And this last weekend, it was what's in your bag, and referring to what, you know, when you go do and you do a photography shoot, or you know, you go out and just have a good time, what do you bring with you? That's able to aid you in getting the images that you want. And I was the only one out of the group to post stuff about iPhone photography. And so I thought it would be a good idea to, you know, go around and you know, find out what's in our bag. What do we take with us when we go out to get images? And, you know, we want to hear from the listeners, too. They can, you know, take pictures of their stuff and post it on Instagram or even on Google Plus, and we can discuss it. So I thought I'd start first and, just kind of say what I usually carry around with me if I can. I have a monopod and a tri. I have a tripod, a monopod, and a Joby. What's it called?
Gorilla pod.
Thank you. And I also have the Joby phone holder. Jeez, man, I'm just losing my mind.
Welcome to the club.
Yeah, it's late. And I use it to hold the phone. Like the week before, I used the tripod to do time lapse. And oh, good news! Time lapse came out, so it worked. So I'll have to post that too. But I used the tripod, and I started to use the tripod and the monopod for doing video, where I would mount the phone to the tripod, and I have a lapel mic with a pretty long cord. I had to get a splitter for the microphone, and I plugged that into my iPhone, and then I would drape the cord along the monopod and have the microphone at the end of it, and I can hold it out above my subject and they can talk, and I get that sort of up close microphone instead of the background noise and all that. So, and all of this stuff, including the gray card and that I carry with me and the Olo clip, I can easily carry with me because it's all collapsible. I want to say the tripod and the GorillaPod are actually the same height with the legs of the tripod collapsed.
Mm-hmm.
So they can easily be put into a small bag. The monopod is the biggest thing that I carry, and I can use that as a walking stick too. So all this stuff that I can carry and do different stuff, be it video or photography, I can, you know, easily carry with me without it, you know, taking up a whole you know, a lot of bag space. So a lot of the guys that it was very impressive to see how many lenses they carry and flash units and everything. And all mine just kind of, I can shove into my pockets and be able to get some good stuff. But I thought that was a good idea to talk about.
You definitely have more than I do. Matt, why don't you go first? Because mine's going to be incredibly quick.
Alrighty, well, I definitely don't have quite the iPhone photography kit that Joe has, and it's mostly, I guess, because I don't shoot video really very often, ever, actually. I guess for me, it kind of depends what I'm going to be doing or what I think I might do. Lately, my phone has basically been living in the diff case, Fogo case, that has the little slot to mount the accessory lenses. So that case and the lenses, they kind of go with me everywhere nowadays. So I always have that with me. And I actually did buy a tripod. I bought it mostly for hiking because it's a very compact tripod, but it still extends to like a respectable height, like 4.5 feet or so.
Right.
And I actually don't remember the brand off the top of my head. It's sitting in my office here, but it's not in view. But in any case, because it's smaller, it has a little bit smaller ball head on it, and the little adapter plate is also pretty small, and it fits really nicely into the little tripod socket on my case. Mm-hmm. And so that actually reminds me, while I was on my little trip this past week in Maine, I decided to only bring one tripod with me because space was limited. I was basically packing 5 days worth of gear into a kayak.
Nice.
So I brought my my Manfrotto carbon fiber tripod because I was going to be shooting with my Sony camera and with my iPhone. And I did a couple waterfall shots with the iPhone.
I
saw those.
I was so jealous.
So I screwed the Manfrotto adapter plate into the tripod socket of the diff case. And the way this adapter plate is, it's got like a bunch of rubber on it where it would contact like the bottom of the camera.
Mm-hmm.
However, right around the little screw, it does not have any of that rubber. And the bottom of the diff case does not contact the rubber. So you really can't get it tight onto the adapter plate. Well, because I'm just stubborn and stupid, I really cranked it in there.
Ooh.
Well, then I couldn't get it off.
Ooh.
So, you know, I was a little bit concerned about that. So, did a lot of twisting, and I ended up twisting the threaded insert right out of the diff case.
Oh.
And then luckily one of my friends that was with me had like a Leatherman tool with him. Nice. So I used the pliers then to clamp it onto that threaded insert and get it off the threaded post on the tripod adapter plate.
Damn.
And the threaded insert actually just, it took a lot of force, but it just pushed right back into place.
Nice.
On the diff case. And it's not going to fall out or anything. It's in there pretty good. But so that's, a lesson learned. If it doesn't tighten up, don't try to make it tighten up.
No violence.
That's right. So I think from now on, I'll end up using the smaller tripod or my Joby GorillaPod. You know, that's definitely a lot easier tripod to carry around for doing iPhone stuff. And then probably the only other thing that I use with some regularity is the LifeProof case. Especially when I'm around water. And I actually have one more story about that real quick. So I brought the LifeProof case with me because I was camping on a lake and I knew we were going to be kayaking every day and exploring swamps and a river and all kinds of nonsense. So I thought, well, my phone is probably going to live in the LifeProof case on this trip.
Yeah.
So we get there and we're packing up our stuff and I grab the case and I go to put my phone in it and I notice that the little plug that screws into the headphone jack is missing. Oh. And I'm like, oh man, you gotta be kidding me. So I thought, well, I guess I'm not taking that with me. So as I'm rooting through this bag of stuff, I end up finding that little thing, and I was like, oh cool, this is great. So I screwed it in and then threw the case in a bag and shoved it in my kayak somewhere, and we end up getting to camp later that day, and it started to rain. So I thought, well, you know, I better get my phone in this case so it doesn't get ruined. Well, I didn't notice, but the weatherproofing seal fell out of the case.
Oh no.
So the case was still completely worthless.
Oh.
I mean, I didn't put my phone in it. I noticed when I went to put my phone in it, but it's like I brought the case and for really no purpose at all, you know? So that was kind of a bummer. But it's fine. I still managed to get a few shots with the using the wide angle lens on my diff case and then just, you know, no accessory lenses at all, and I didn't ruin my phone, so it was all good.
Nice.
Oh, good.
Yeah, no, there's no horror stories there, but it could have been if I hadn't been paying attention, you know?
Yeah.
So,
what about you, Mark?
That's about it.
All I got is my trusty Gizmon case. That's it. That's all I shoot with. I don't have, like, I have in my computer bag just one of those mini tripods just in case.
Right.
So that I can just use the Gizmon attachment and then have a tripod ready. But I haven't needed that in ages. Anything I'm shooting with my iPhone has just been handheld. And that's really it. I just really enjoy the Gizmon case. I don't know how much actual protection it gives, but every time I've dropped it, it seemed to work fine.
So does that really count, though? Because, I mean, it doesn't really do anything for you. Like, it doesn't help you.
It's eye candy.
No.
Yeah, I mean, that's all it is. It definitely looks cool.
It just makes me want to take more pictures.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Then that's a very useful product.
And I still have access to the volume buttons, and it very much looks like a shutter. So it actually does help me take photos. It helps me hold the camera better. Because the iPhone is very sleek and...
Yeah, you have more real estate to hold.
Exactly, and more grip, too.
Yeah.
It has more surface area, more nice rough texture. So in that respect, it does help me, and it helps me hold it like a camera. So I take better pictures with it. And the cool thing is that every time I photograph a wedding, I make sure I always have my Gizmon case on, just because it's not much, but it does give me that little edge as to, like, make an impression on the client. Yeah. You know, that, because every now and then I'll pull up my iPhone and just take something that I can share later on. And yeah. They'll be like, oh, cool, that's a cool camera. Where'd you get that? It's so thin. I'm like, it's my iPhone. I'm like, oh, my God, that's awesome. Yeah. And, like, this past weekend, if anybody's following me on Vine, you really got to check it out. Actually, you don't, because it's a lot of corny stuff. But over the weekend, I had one of my clients... One of the groomsmen in the wedding was a robot.
What?
Yes, it was a robot. It was remote controlled by... They basically, as I understand it, they paid $1,500 to plus travel expenses to get this robot from Florida, dress him up in a tuxedo, and have him in the wedding party.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and... Yeah, just think of Short Circuit. But like
Johnny Five.
But the robot but the GoBot version of Short Circuit.
Oh, that's exactly what it looks like.
Oh, you saw the picture, yeah. So they basically, and let me tell you something, this robot does not move fast. When it came time to doing the portrait photos at the wedding reception, not the wedding reception, at the church, it's just basically. I'm like, can somebody make number five move a little bit faster? And for a group of nerds, you'd think they'd get the number five
oh,
joke.
Oh no,
none of them did. Right over their heads. I'm like, really, Johnny Five? Nothing. But the lady who was controlling it, she basically has this this coffee mug with her, and she's basically walking around looking like one of the guests. And on her coffee mug is a lot of switches and controls. And nice. The part where you drink out of is a microphone. So she'll just hold it up. It looks like she's taking a drink, and she'll talk into it. And then the robot talks. Yeah. So I was just messing with her. I'm like, you know, number five, can you move back a little bit? And, went over the heads of the guests. But anyway, I have Vine footage of the robot dancing. I took a few pictures with it that I'll put on Facebook or Instagram. And I just haven't had a chance to do that yet. But where was I going with that story?
I don't know. We'll figure out when we listen to it again.
Probably not. Anyway, the point is, I use the Gizmon case. That's pretty much it. And check me out on Vine. So, here you go.
Cool.
So, let's go into post pick of the week. And Joe, you have something for that?
Yeah, I was actually going to use my my Instagram image of my gear so that people can... go to either the show notes or to Tiny Shutter Podcast on Instagram, and then they can see the different pieces of equipment that I have that is in my bag. And like I said, I'm using the monopod either, you know, to get some elevation when taking video or images, and or I use it for as a boom for a mic and to be able to get some interviews on my iPhone. I tell you what, the difference between the iPhone 4 and the 4S when it comes to video is huge. Because
the video image, stability.
Yeah, image stabilization is amazing. What looks like, you know, when I'm taking video and I swear I'm like looking at it going, oh, I'm just shaking this thing all over the place, you don't see. And so that one feature right there has really gotten me into going, I can do this. You know, I can take good video and be able to do it. And not only, you know, using the tripod for stability when it's on the ground, but if I have to move around, I can extend the legs and get some more stability to keep the camera level.
Yeah.
And, you know, keep it from, like, you know, slouching to the side or something like that, and add to the... give it less shake also when I'm walking around and taking steps. So
I'm going to pick your brain about that more, because that's fascinating. And I definitely want to explore more video options. I think that's one thing that I've been neglecting with the iPhone. So one day off the air, we'll have to
sure
share notes. And by share notes, I mean you share your notes and I'll listen.
Yeah. So that image will be on there and you guys can see it. And I know a lot of you have already seen it if you follow me on Instagram. But please share your stuff too, because, I mean, there's a lot of things that we don't know. And if you have something that's, you know, brilliant that we all can use, we can be able, you know, if we don't know about it, we won't be able to use it. But if you let us know what it is, that'd be great.
Perfect. Very cool. So with that, let us go into our picks for this week and
focus points.
Yeah, you know, same thing. Matt, you want to go first on that one?
Yeah, sure. No problem. So do you guys like textures and light leaks and colors and different backgrounds and fun stuff like that?
I sure do.
Sure.
Darn tootin' you do. So, you guys remember maybe a couple months ago I talked about something called Mextures. It was like a collection of different backgrounds. They were mostly just like colored or like some textured backgrounds that you could basically like overlay.
Yes.
You could download them and then overlay them into your pictures, like using another app that had the capability to do such a thing. Well, today there is a new Mextures app, and it is freaking awesome. So I played with it a little bit today. It came out today. There's over 70 different textures, and they're divided up into categories like light leaks, grit and grain, grunge, stuff like that. The thing that makes this really, really cool is the way that you could edit your photos using this app. There's just tons and tons of adjustability, but it's not complicated. It's something that you could pick up relatively quickly. So when you go into one of the collections of filters, you could select a filter and you see it, you know, right away applied over the top of your image that you loaded into the app. And it's the opacity is set at the midpoint. So from there you can raise or lower the opacity. You can rotate the filter, which is cool. And then kind of like Photoshop, they have different blending modes. So you have, you know, like hard light, soft light, screen, can't think of some of the other ones, but anyway, just different blend modes, and they really do drastically change the look of the filter. So that's pretty, it's pretty fun to play around with that. And in the app, they use the blending mode that they think looks best with that particular filter.
Nice.
But it is pretty cool to go in and kind of see what all the different blend modes look like. And then you can basically add layers, so you could keep adding more textures and whatnot, basically till you turn blue in the face. There's basically an unlimited number of layers. And the cool thing is, you know, let's say you're just adding tons of layers, and then you decide, you know what, that one layer that I added like 10 layers ago, I really want to change the blend mode or reduce the opacity. You can actually scroll through your layers and go to that layer and then just re-edit that layer without having to do any kind of like undos or start overs or anything like that. So the workflow is really awesome. It really is super cool.
And, nice.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I mean, this is not an app for everyone. If you really just like, you know, your pictures to be straightforward and basically as true to life as possible, you're probably not going to like this app. But if you like horsing around with your pictures and adding, you know, different effects and stuff like that, this, in my opinion, is a must-have app. And granted, it just came out today, but the interface is, it's beautiful, actually. It's a gorgeous app. It's just fun just to look at it. And it's 99 cents right now in the App Store, and I think it's worth every penny of that.
Nice.
Nice.
So I am pretty psyched on Mextures.
I will be picking it up. How about you, Joe? Oh, sorry. You were going to say something, Matt?
Oh, I was going to say there's other features, too, that I didn't even get around to mentioning. It's a pretty feature-packed app.
That's awesome. So you can always explore later on.
That's right.
Cool. All right, Joe, how about you?
Well, I was turned on to this app by Techie for Christ. He, after I had posted the image of my stuff, he said, "Have you tried the Oloclip app?" And I was like, I hadn't heard of that one. And so it came out actually a few days ago. And so I was like, oh, I'm going to try it. So it's version 1.0. And a couple things I like about it so far is when you use the app with the Oloclip and you're doing macro,
mm-hmm.
it actually has a loop setting. So you can set it to either be twice, 2.5 times, or 3 times view. And what it does is it'll automatically zoom in so you can get closer without it, it's a digital zoom, but you're not sitting there with a little dial. It'll automatically, once you go into the macro mode, it'll already zoom it for you. So I thought that was pretty neat. There is one feature on there that I have not been able to get it to work yet, and being that it is version 1.0, it kept crashing the app. But if I'm not mistaken, I believe it's a lens correction mode. So when you have the wide angle, or I believe even the fisheye lens, and you take the image, it'll give you a chance to correct the distortion. So I'm assuming that's what it is, but I haven't been able to try it because it crashes the app every single time I try. So I hope that when it comes out with another version, that will work. And I'm hoping that is the actual feature that isn't working right now.
Gotcha.
So, and it's free. So if you have the Oloclip, it's you know, it's designed to work with the Oloclip, so the app is free, and I thought that was pretty cool.
Nice. Well, my app either came out today or came out yesterday. I can't remember. What's today's date? 30th?
Yes.
Okay, as of recording, it's the 30th. So this came out yesterday, and it was brought to my attention by one of our Instagram followers, Chess Nation, and it is an app called Analog Camera, and it's an app made by Real Mac Software, 99 cents. This thing, it's interesting. It goes against my natural inclination to take photos, i.e. the shutter button, plus button thing. But it's a really unique app in that it's very, very basic. So in this, you take a photo with the camera, and it's a square finish that you're doing.
What's it called again?
Analog Camera.
Okay.
So you take a picture, and then when the picture's taken, you can just select that photo, because the photo appears right above the square preview pane and all that jazz. And from there, you have 9 selections to edit. Just okay. 9 filters. You have the center one, which is your original photo, and then all around that, you have different filters. And they're very subtle filters. Every single one of these, granted there's only 8 of them, but these 8 are really, really nice. It's either, you know, a nice sepia filter, a nice black and white image, and then it's just variations of that. And it's really, really sharp. And then from there, you either share to Facebook, Twitter, save it to your camera roll, email it, or then there's that, you know, forward button. And then from there, you can forward it to Instagram, Snapseed, PicTapGo, or Camera Plus.
Nice.
And I'm guessing there's more places that you can edit in, but those are the ones that I happen to have. And it's really, really nice. Like, granted, you know, I'm taking a half point. I mean, just a superficial half point away from, you know, not being able to photograph it in my comfortable manner. Boo-hoo me. But apart from that, it's a really, really simple app, and the effects that it gives is really, really nice. And it has to be really, really good, because I'm using adjectives twice in a row. So I recommend everybody try this out. It's only 99 cents. It's not going to break the bank. So buy it, and you have no excuse not to now.
Tell me what it's called again.
It's called Analog Camera by Real Mac Software.
That's right.
Brought to us by Chess Nation. He's a really good photographer. Or really, really good photographer. You know, why break the streak? So, yeah, there we go. That's all for this week. We have just a few more PicTapGo free codes to give away. So if you want one, follow, you know, send a message through our Facebook group or our Twitter group, and just give me a shout out, and you know, we'll hook you up with whatever codes we have left. So there you go. You can always follow Tiny Shutter on facebook.com/tinyshutter. I'm going to mute because I'm about to sneeze.
And he sneezed.
Of course, coming. Should be all done. Facebook.com/tinyshutter. I've been holding that in for like good 4 minutes. Man, was that killing me. You can find us on Twitter @tinyshutter, and go to the website tinyshutter.com. Leave us a message on one of our posts, leave us an email, just follow the links. And Joe, where can they find you on the web?
You can find me on Instagram @ Joseph Ferreira, or you can even find me on Google Plus. Well, actually, good luck. Go to the Google Plus group, and then you can find me there.
Awesome. How about you, Matt?
I can be found on Instagram and Twitter @ M. Hoffman Photo.
Very cool. And you could find me, Mark Sadowski, on Twitter. I'm @mostlymarcus. And you could find me on Instagram as Lenswipe. And you can also follow me on Vine. Just look for Lenswipe there, too. I did a... I took my daughter to the zoo over the holiday weekend. And I couldn't help but make a whole bunch of horrible, horrible animal puns. And if you want to cringe, just go there, check it out. On the plus side, I did see a goat being born. That's right. In their petting zoo, they had a whole bunch of pregnant goats. And one of them was giving birth right then and there. It was pretty interesting.
Were you allowed to pet the baby goat right away?
No, we could not pet the baby goat right away. But they did have baby goats that were born yesterday that you could pet right away. Which I'm pretty amazed that they could just get up and start screwing around and having fun. So,
well, at least they weren't sticky.
They were not sticky. They were nice and fluffy. But, oh man, what an experience to see a baby goat born. Because the... You know, we just walked in to see the mother goat just give birth, and the zoo handler was holding onto the baby goat, and the mother was following. And as the mother was following, the amniotic sac was coming out, which didn't look gross. You'd think it would look gross, but it didn't. It looked like this.
Hopefully nobody's eating right now.
Yeah. Warning. No, it just looked like this, like, teardrop of amber just hanging off her tail.
I didn't see that in Vine.
Yeah. And then, you know, then I'm like, oh, that was kind of cool. Hey, too bad I missed it. And then all of a sudden, a head pops out. I'm like, oh, there you go. And you can walk. That's amazing. You could just move around while you have another baby popping out, checking out the view. So they finally gave the mother her own pen, and she finished giving birth. It was quite surreal. It was really cool. Yeah, I think I did a Vine of that too. Too bad I only could only get 6 seconds of it. So there you go. Another reason to check me out on Vine. So there you go. Anyway, that's all for this week. I hope I didn't totally gross out everybody. I shouldn't have. I kind of kept it tame. Nah, we'll see. No. I'll get complaint emails. It's all good. So that's all for this week. Everybody, enjoy photographing with your iPhones and Mazel Tov. Sure.
Goodbye.
Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.